Hey Heat Nation, welcome to another episode of Fear is Gonna Heat. The full squad is back. I'm your co-host, Jorge Cantu, and your other co-host is also back for this episode, Richard Anselmo. Richard, what's up?
Jorge, great to be back.
We had a very interesting game preview for the Milwaukee Bucks game. It obviously, you know, didn't turn out well at the end, but I had a great chat with Brian from Bucks Film Room. It was a very interesting episode, but now we're back to our normal schedule.
Yeah, unfortunately, that game didn't end the way we wanted it to.
Not at all.
But the little game spurt since we talked last week was successful before that.
It was. And there have been a couple of things going on with Miami that we want to talk about today. But before we start, I just want to wish happy birthday to... Well, the Heat, arguably the Heat's GOAT, Dwayne Wade. He turns 37 years old today as we record this. So, I mean, nothing but the best for the man.
Absolutely. He is the best that's ever put on that uniform. One of the most clutch players ever in the league. One of the best leaders this league has ever seen. And happy birthday and many more and much success.
Truly a generational talent from that loaded 03 draft class. And, well, it will be very sad to see Wade no longer in a Heat uniform or in an NBA court, for that matter, by next season. But I'm pretty sure he will be very acclaimed even after he retires. I'm pretty sure he deserves a statue outside of American Airlines Arena. Have you even thought about, you know, the idea, what would you like the statue to be, you know? How should Wade get pictured in a statue outside? What image would you like to see?
Mine would probably not be a popular choice, but I would love to see an image of Wade rising up to block a shot. He is the best shot blocking guard I have ever seen.
I hadn't really thought about that, but right, he's widely considered as one of the best, if not the best, a shot blocking guard of all time. And that would definitely be a crazy sight. I had thought about, well, something a little bit more simple, but you know, his patented fadeaway, just kind of him rising up with the ball, you know, right before he shoots. I think that would also be a beautiful.
I think that would be great and a lot more accessible than what I had.
Because then you get in the dilemma of who is going to get blocked.
Well, you really want to hit a nerve, make it LeBron.
that would be very crazy. But I also want to get talking about Bradley Beal and, you know, the trade rumors. But before we get into that, we really want to thank CC Jersey Shop for hooking us up. As I mentioned in our last episode, they're offering a 20% discount to all Heaters Gonna Heat listeners using the code HEAT20, that is HEAT20. So if you're still looking to cop a Miami Vice jersey, I already got mine, the black edition. Or even if you need a birthday gift, I don't know, you can check out ccjerseyshop.com for NBA jerseys of all sizes and with really good prices. So make sure you, in case you're looking to add to your wardrobe, use that code HEAT20 and you'll get 20% discount on your first purchase.
I just haven't decided which one to get yet.
Well, I recently, I don't know if I mentioned this before in the podcast, but I actually won a giveaway by the NBA Twitter account. It was a Dwayne Wade. It's the Vice jersey, the black one. It fits. It's, you know, it's a little bit, you know, larger for me, but it still looks very nice when I wear it. I've worn it a couple of times already, and it definitely feels good.
Oh, that's excellent.
So with that out of the way, should we get started? For those of you who are not informed, it seems like, well, we've heard all of the chatter around how the Wizards are exploring their options at this point of the season, because Richard, they've definitely been underperforming.
They have. It's actually been 2 years, I think, they've been underperforming. And well, the best trade asset they have is Bradley Beal. I mean, think about it. John Wall's contract is almost untouchable, and he's injured. So who's the next logical person to trade if you really do want to start rebuilding your team?
Yeah, well, just in case Beal wants to get out of Washington, well, he's doing a really good job of showing off and putting up these big numbers and actually helping the Wizards even pull off some games. I personally had a very high expectations for this team as they started the season, but obviously Dwight Howard had a bunch of injury problems, and then he had a Twitter scandal with a woman who accused him of some sex related problems. And then he got injured again, and he's out for the season. Now John Wall, he's injured, but obviously he just wasn't, he wasn't being that big of a positive for the Wizards
Well,
as he was, or as he had been in previous seasons.
I feel the same way I did last year. I thought Beal was their best player. He was most consistent on both ends, and he really came to play every night, or Wall has been in and out.
Right, that opinion right there, where you said Beal was the best player on the team, that might have been a hot take maybe last year or 2 years ago. But when you think about it today, it's not as crazy. And as you mentioned, the consistency Beal brings from the perimeter, which is, well, his specialty. But even as a playmaker and as a slasher, he's improved in those areas too. And as you mentioned, he's very consistent. You know what he brings to the table every night, and he'll hardly ever let you down. So it's no surprise that a lot of teams are calling the Wizards, asking for his availability with how much they've been struggling.
Oh, not at all. I know the Lakers have talked to them as well.
And well, it seems like the genius Pat Riley, a master, at getting deals done of all sorts, is also interested, or at least called, to see, the market on Bradley Beal and how things were going. But it seems like the asking price is very high, and well, rightfully so, because Beal is playing very good basketball right now.
It is high. But my question is, what do you think the Heat can offer them?
I mean, first off, I don't know what Pat Riley had in mind when he called the Wizards, because Bradley Beal's contract is just, it's a pretty big contract. It's a star player's contract, and the Heat don't have any salary cap space, and they're super thin. They're paying the luxury tax once again, and it wouldn't make sense to bring in more money unless it's like, it's an opportunity you can pass on. And well, Beal is really a good player, but to get him to Miami, you would have to send a big contract in return. And well, the closest thing to matching salaries that Miami has that could work out for the deal is Hassan Whiteside. But do you really think the Wizards have any interest in Whiteside?
I think they would want someone younger. If unless you can entice them with Dragic and some draft capital, you might be able to do something because expiring contracts are always nice to one, move off your roster, and two, give to teams who want to have more flexibility because the Wizards are in the same cap jail the Heat is in.
If not worse, I'd say definitely.
Oh no, they have three players, Wall, Beal, and Otto Porter, that combined make $93 million a year, which is almost all of your salary cap.
Ernie Grunfeld has done a terrible job as a general manager, but of course he couldn't afford to let Wall walk. He couldn't afford to let Bradley Beal walk away as well. And even Otto Porter, who had a couple of very productive years earlier with the Wizards, and well, he then earned his money, and now we're seeing that's an overpayment. So even
I
if
would have
the
let him go.
you would
They
have let him go.
drafted Kelly Oubre. This year they drafted Troy Brown out of Oregon in the first round, a player I liked a lot in college, and he doesn't get any time because they have so many small forwards. I would have bit the bullet on Porter because it's really handicapped them from a standpoint of what they can and can't do.
I think what the Wizards saw in Porter was, besides this, obviously, he proved he could be a threat offensively as a spot-up catch and shooter. But I think that they were also bidding on his defensive potential, because he's lengthy enough for a small forward. He was active, he played with some energy. So I think they were betting on Porter as a two-way, well, not a star, but as close as he could get to a star, but a two-way player, an elite 3-and-D player. But it clearly didn't turn out to be that way.
No, he has not reached that at all.
And it
I
seems,
think regressed a little bit.
yeah, I think that too. And it's hard. It's really tough because it's, once again, we come back to that idea that players bust their ass on their contract years to get a big deal, and then they disappear. Whether they disappear or they just fall off or whatever.
It's happened before.
And well, it happened once again. So it's no surprise that Beal is being mentioned in trades. But whatever the Heat could offer, obviously the last thing we want to give up is one of our young players from the core, which is mainly Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, or Bam Adebayo. But even if we wanted to offer Dragic or Whiteside, the fit would be tough thinking next year because Dragic and Wall, they're short point guards, and playing them together would not be ideal. And then you think about sending Whiteside over there with Howard. Well, Howard isn't a 1 year deal. There's no, it's not sure that he'll come back.
Right, Whiteside makes more sense.
Yeah, it does, especially because, as I said, Howard is not locked in long term, so the Wizards could just let him walk. But I don't know if the Wizards are really interested in what Whiteside brings to the table.
They are most likely interested in draft picks and younger players. And I also don't want to see the Heat give up Richardson or Bam or Justice.
Would you be willing to give up either, say, Tyler Johnson, Derrick Jones Jr., or even Bam on one of those deals?
It's going to take a lot of draft picks in there as well, especially if the Wizards are considering rebuilding, because I think they'll try to trade Wall in the offseason if
But
healthy.
I mean, but who would want Wall at this point? Like, with that terrible contract, Russell Westbrook has a similar one, but at least, he's doing pretty well with Paul George right now, and he's actually playing better. But can Wall be better than he already has? That's the question.
I don't know. He physically can get better, but I think it's his attitude that's the big question.
Right. And well, in case Wall's not interested in going into a rebuild period, which obviously wouldn't make sense that you're trying to rebuild and you have a guy on a superstar contract. Well, that doesn't really make sense. But I don't think the Heat should give up more than one first round pick in any deal for Bradley Beal, or in any deal for that matter, any other deal for any other player, because it's just too much. We're already shorthanded in first round picks. I'm pretty sure we owe our 2021 first round pick to the Suns
Which
from
means,
that Dragic deal.
if you trade one this year, you can't trade your 2020 or your 2022.
Right, it would have to be the 2023 then. I'm pretty sure they own that one, but they would be handicapping themselves even more into their long-term view, which is
Right.
something that Pat Riley has always valued.
And by 2023, Beal's probably going to be on the downside of his
Right.
career.
Hopefully by that time, Justice and Bam and the kids, have emerged as legit stars. But in this league, everything can happen. We don't know. So it will be very interesting to monitor this situation, to see how it unfolds in the coming weeks leading up to the trade deadline, which is on February the 7th. Do you think Beal is getting traded before the deadline? Yes or no, and why?
I don't think so. I think they would like to, but with so many other players on the market and the fact that Washington's asking prices high, I think it would be tough. I think it will be tough to move them. I don't see that many teams out there that have that kind of need that also have the cap space that they want to use. Even if you're a team like Los Angeles, well, you have the room for him. You could trade a young asset and a pick to get him, but do you want to tie up that cap space, especially if you want to sign free agents?
Great point.
I mean, it's different here because the Heat don't really have room to sign a marquee free agent.
I don't think he's getting traded before the deadline either, but more for the fact that at this point, it seems like the Wizards are still pushing for a playoff appearance, maybe just to avoid being a letdown and just miss the playoffs overall. But even then, at this point of the season, I think it will be very tough seeing a team genuinely giving up the assets, the kind of assets that the Wizards are asking for. For Beal, I think the time to trade stars or borderline stars is earlier or much earlier in the season, just as happened with Jimmy Butler this year, just as happened with Eric Bledsoe earlier. That was last year, right?
Yes.
So those type of bigger names, I think the market for them is much bigger earlier in the season, where teams still have enough time to figure out things for the whole regular season rather than doing it at the midpoint of it. So yeah, I don't think Beal's getting moved.
The off season's good also.
If the Wizards can somehow manage to accommodate Wall's contract somewhere else, then it's pretty much a given that Beal is gone in the offseason too.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, we'll see how it unfolds. But, well, we're going from one guard to another guard. But this time we're talking about Dion Waiters, who after last game had some pretty tough words, to say the least. So it turns out as it was a blowout against the Bucks. We were just manhandled in every way possible. Giannis was a monster. We weren't able to replicate the great defense and switching that we had seen from Miami in their first game against the Bucks at home. But I don't think this is any, too big of a surprise, because we're talking about arguably the best or the second best team in the Eastern Conference as of right now.
A very tough team to beat.
And well, after the game, as we said, Waiters had some words. He not targeting anybody in specific, but you could, it's you can figure out who it was. So basically, and I quote, he said, "F patience. I want to play. I've been patient long enough. What do I got to be patient for? Come on, man. I've been patient. I think everybody knows that. It's time. What are we waiting for? If I'm out there, play me." So that's a pretty direct message to the coaching staff and to the team overall that he's healthy and he thinks he can contribute more than well, the chance he's been given so far. And then he said he made it clear, basically. He said the next step is being back in the starting lineup. And then he said an expletive like that.
Well, he said a few. I
And then
admit
he's
Richardson did not have a good game at all. He did not shoot well. But Waiters in his 12 minutes had 2 points, one assist, and three turnovers.
right, that's not
What did
something to be
he
too proud
show?
of. Right,
What has he shown to get more playing time, except in one game?
I don't think he's entitled to, starting to get to this point. I would get it if he had a couple of, 10-point games in whatever, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes off the bench, and he was shooting well, he was moving the ball, he was taking care. I could see him complaining, because there would be at least he would have some backup with what he's done in the court. But as you mentioned, he's done nothing that really stands out to just give him more minutes right away.
No, and Winslow had a good game, a better game, reasonably. And he had five assists, and so did Richardson. And Wade had four, so did Tyler Johnson. Waiters had one with three turnovers. This isn't high school. This is the NBA.
Right.
You have to earn those minutes. They don't get handed to you. Plus, the guys playing in front of him have been there all year, battling.
Right. It's very tough to just come back to the team after a full year out and expecting things to be to work your way once again. He had been on kind of a roll before he got injured. He was shooting 39% from three, and well, an improved field goal percentage of 42.4%, that is. And he was averaging almost 16 points in 46 games in the 2017 season. But then he went down. He came back next year, and that Dion Waiters, just we never saw him again, because he averaged 14 points on 31% shooting from three, under 40% shooting from the field, and 2.3 turnovers, which was a career high. Once again, he played 30 games, he got injured, and now he's coming back and asking, or more than asking, demanding for all these things. I don't really think that he's in a position to do so.
Not at all. Not at all. He needs to worry about improving, getting more into the flow, and reassimilating himself with his teammates before he worries about more playing time. I think it's way too soon to ask that. I don't feel it's been earned. It can't just be given. And he's been around long enough to know that.
I
After
think.
a game like that is not the time to say anything because you wouldn't have made a difference. We failed as a unit, offensively and defensively. Him playing 20 more minutes would not have fixed that.
Well, Waiters is, he was just desperate in whatever he said after the game, and I think he's also losing, or he's not keeping in mind the fact that this team, and we've mentioned this a bunch of times, this team, if they want to make things work, they need to make it as a team. We don't have a superstar. We don't even have a star. Our best player is, I think most of us can agree, is Josh Richardson. You
Yes.
play the same position as the best player on the team. You're an undersized small forward if that's where you would want to get. You're not as good of a ball handler as a point guard. Plus, we have a star to be in Justice Winslow, by the way he's playing.
You know what Tyler Johnson's going to give you off the bench? The veteran leadership that Dwayne Wade brings and the fact that he can still play. I don't see where the time is. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And I felt then that it was too many players for the kind of time they had to give out.
I think Waiter needs to just look around, and if he looked around quickly, he would clearly notice that Wayne Ellington is having the same struggles. Obviously, Ellington is more of a role player, a one-dimensional. Well, not one-dimensional, but he's a three-point specialist, and that this is what he's going to bring every game.
Right.
Where Waiters is more of a wild card. On some nights he'll give you some effort on defense. Another night he'll have six assists and be an unselfish guy. And then on the next night, he's going to make four threes without missing. And then the next two games, he's going to have a horrible shooting night. So that's kind of like the difference. And I don't think a guy who has not shown that he deserves the time, not this season and not before, because I just, the way I'm picturing it is I think Waiters got too comfortable as a ball handler when Wade wasn't here, when Richardson was not. Well, not this big of a star when Justice was playing mostly as a forward. I think Waiters got too, used to having the ball in his hands a lot of the time. Actually, I have the stats right here in front of me. And in 2017, which was his first year with Miami, he had a 27.9 usage rate, which is 91st percentile. Then in 18, he's labeled as a wing, and he had a 26.7% usage rate, which is 92nd percentile. When you're using that many possessions, you need to show better results. And he didn't do it previously. He didn't do it. He hasn't done it thus far this season. And I don't think he will really make that big of a difference if he gets whatever minutes he's asking.
I agree. He doesn't do it consistently. And that's the key. You can't have five assists one night, have another night where you do nothing, then come out and hit a few shots, but turn it over five times. You have to be more consistent. Well, especially when you're coming off the bench.
And well, the thing that has me most concerned right now is we had avoided a couple of trouble, especially with Hassan Whiteside and how he had previously shown a similar attitude in demanding more playing time. The team had fought very hard to avoid all of those troubles this season. And now Waiters comes back all of a sudden and he's starting some locker room drama, which we don't need at all.
No, we're fighting for a playoff spot. This is the last thing that you need. This is absolutely the last thing. You can't have that. You're trying to accomplish something here, and you need to do it as a team.
Waiters' name has also been mentioned in possible trade scenarios, but at this point and with how he's played, it would take a team that really, really believes in him to genuinely make a trade for them, because his contract is just I don't think he's worth it, but I think it kind of tough to get rid of that contract if you're Pat Riley in Miami.
I think so too.
Well,
Think that will be a tough contract to deal.
we'll keep an eye on how Waiters continues to play the rest of the week and in the future. At this point, there's nothing we can do but hope he does better in whatever role he has moving forward.
Yes, absolutely.
And while moving on to a more positive note, we want to make a quick preview of one of our games next week against the Los Angeles Clippers. It's a Wednesday night game on January 23rd, and I'm pretty sure, yeah, this is a home game, right?
It is a home game.
And well, the last time we faced the Clippers, it was in Los Angeles, and it was a big blowout. Rich, I know you follow the Clippers closely. You pay attention to detail, and I'm pretty sure you can give us some interesting insight on what's going on with the team as of late. What have you seen from the Clippers recently?
Right now, the Clippers are not playing well. They're not playing good basketball. They're not good. They're not solid on the defensive end at all. And I think that's where the Heat can take advantage of them. Where the Clippers have an advantage is they have two nice size forwards who can score. Tobias Harris at 6'9", Gallinari at 6'10", can both shoot the ball. They can both score inside and out. And they're real solid players. Their guards don't offer much scoring punch. And I watched them against Utah last night, and they failed to defend the pick and roll about 95% of the time.
Wow.
Their switches were wrong. I think that's where Justice and Richardson could come off it. Whiteside could come off it. You could use a lot of different people, even Olynyk, if they want to pick and pop. If the Clippers continue to switch like that defensively, and I haven't seen anything from them all year that shows me they're going to change, I think that's where we can really take advantage. I think we can
Right.
take advantage inside, outside, and I think some of the guards, especially when the Clippers have like Bradley in the game, who's not doing well offensively, or Patrick Beverley, I think some of the guards can switch off and help on the Clippers forwards. I think this is a team, the way they're playing right now, that can be beaten. I haven't seen anything lately to show me any different. And they got off to a real hot start.
They were top three in the Western Conference standings for most of the first half of the season, but right now they've fallen off a bit. And those very same offensive struggles that you point out could help Miami. That's basically what helped the Heat pull off a win last time in Los Angeles. Even in a game that we didn't have Dragic, Josh Richardson, or Hassan Whiteside available, we were still able to pretty much blow them out. It was a 121 to 98 resounding victory, and well, it was the offensive problems for the Clippers that killed them. Tobias Harris, he shot 42% from the field. Gallinari, he shot 3 for 10. Shai, damn, this last name, I
Oh,
don't.
Gilgeous-Alexander. They're
Gilgeous-Alexander. Okay, so Shai, he shot 3 for 9, and the rest of the team. Well, Lou Williams, who is usually a nice scorer off the bench and pretty much their only offensive guard. If we want to look at it that way, he shot 6 for 16. So those same offensive struggles was what were the things that killed the Clippers in this last game.
And out of all of those players, the one I count on turning that around is Lou Williams, because he is flat out a scorer.
Yeah, right. That's pretty much the only scoring punch that they have as in guards, because they have Gilgeous-Alexander, they have Avery Bradley, they have Patrick Beverley, and Lou Williams. Those are pretty much their four backcourt rotation players. Am I right?
Yes.
So out of those, you could say that the next best scorer after them is that Gilgeous-Alexander.
It is. And he's a rookie. He's going to get better at it, but he's kind of hitting a rookie wall. and he's still learning the game. He's very good defensively. So that's something you'll have to be careful with when he's in the game. He won't just let you go by. But yeah, offensively, he's still figuring it out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Heat won't have struggles on the defensive end. That's pretty much the way they have won a bunch of their games this season. But rather, I'm a little bit worried about the offense, which has been a struggle at times in the season. Yes, when they move the ball, it's beautiful. When the shots fall, it's beautiful. All the nice ball movement is beautiful. But what happens when the opposing teams have really good defenders, or just in rhythm on defense and switching appropriately and doing things well, and things don't go right for Miami? That's the one thing that I'm a little bit concerned about, that the Clippers defense is just, well, too hard on the struggling Heat offense. What do you think about this aspect, Rich?
I think if the Heat don't worry about a lot of the usual sets they run a lot of horns, they run a lot of different options, I would just run pick and roll with this team all day, because they are incapable of switching on it.
I'm a very, very big fan of the handoffs that they run with Kelly O. But as you mentioned, they might not need to dig very deep into their playbook to pull out a couple of nice offensive plays in the half court, because we've seen them improve on the fast break. I think we can agree on that.
Yes. Don't turn the ball over. You have to take care of the ball against this team, because Gilgeous Alexander and Lou Williams have real quick hands. So you've got to get the ball into the front court, run basic sets, run pick and roll, use your shooters, slash to the basket, do basic things to beat this team, because I am very unimpressed with the Clippers defense.
And it's, you touched on this earlier, but it's the Clippers front court that usually provides most of the scoring punch, because they obviously have Gallinari and Harris, who are two pretty tall forwards for the positions they play.
They're both very good shooters.
And Harris has shown a lot of improvement, and teams are starting to game plan on ways to contain him, which is something you really didn't think about before.
This year, I think he took a major step forward.
That's right where I was going. Would you say Harris is right now the Clippers' best player, no doubt?
Yes.
Who do you have as the second best one then?
Gallinari.
I was, you know, even amid all the injuries that Gallinari had, I was very supportive of him during his time in Denver. But then, well, things didn't go well there. He found a home in Los Angeles. He's now free from injuries, and I'm very happy that he's doing well, because I always like him. He's a guy with a very long frame, and you don't find guys these tall who are as good of shooters as Gallinari is. So, you know, those two are a big part of why the Clippers went on an early run this season.
They are, and when you're talking front court, don't forget Montrezl Harrell either.
Oh, that's the Derrick Jones Jr. of the Clippers. That's the equivalent.
He brings energy. He, unfortunately, because they don't have a true big man, I think Gortatsa at his end, has to play a lot of center. And that's where you can take advantage of him, is inside. It's 6'8". He just has trouble with bigger centers.
But even then, I think his physicality is well, not enough, but certainly a battle for any center in the league.
Well, he'll make you work. He will definitely make you work for everything you get.
So would you say this is a nice opportunity for Hassan Whiteside to have another big game then?
I think so.
I mean, the on paper, the matchups look ideal, because the Clippers don't have a floor-stretching center like most other teams, and we have touched on this a lot of times before. These are the matchups in which Whiteside struggles the most, because he cannot get a perimeter stop for his life.
Right, and so, Gortat can go mid-range at most.
Yeah, that like borderline mid-range, and even then it's kind of suspect. So
An in-close player at this point.
So at center, it's either Gortat, Harrell, or maybe Boban Marjanovic taking a couple of minutes there. So there's not really a long-range threat at center. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Whiteside play, say, 32, 34 minutes in this one. I think it's very plausible.
He needs to stay out of foul trouble.
That's
He
a
needs
key.
to be active and engaged offensively. Get him the ball early, get him going in the offense, because he really can do a lot inside against this team. And on the pick and roll, like I said, I was taking notes watching that game last night. Just amazed at how many times they failed at switching on it.
Yeah, and when you think about it, nobody's going to jump high enough to block a Hassan Whiteside alley-oop, whether it
No.
be from Justice Winslow or from Jay Rich or from whomever. There's nobody stopping a Hassan Whiteside pick and roll alley-oop show. And well, this is a pretty good opportunity for him to shine in a season in which he has had trouble staying on the court because of the aforementioned perimeter defense issues when he faces the stretch bigs. So I'll make sure to watch this game live because I admittedly don't watch every game live. So there's sometimes things get in between, but I make sure to watch the replays on my League Pass. And I'm really excited to watch this one live and get some reactions, live reactions on Twitter. And well, speaking about Twitter, before we get out of here, if you're not following us on Twitter at Heaters Heating, then do it right now. Rich, can you plug in your social media and other outlets where we can
You
find
can
you,
follow
please?
me on Twitter at Rich A, RICHA underscore NBA, and also Tuesday nights on the NBA show on SB Nation Radio, and whatever other place I pop up. I do a weekly podcast for the show that's on the show site, NBARadioshow.com, that's up there usually by Friday. And you can also find that podcast on Spreaker.
And well, you can follow me on Twitter at Kent2NBA. As I also mentioned, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Heaters Heating. And well, check out OTG Basketball. We still have the trade marathon going on.
Oh, and that's been so much fun.
It's really fun watching all the ideas that my teammates come up with. So make sure to check those out. We have a lot of nice content going on there. We have a new Heat writer incoming. His name is Kyle. So watch out. He's getting his first piece out very soon. And on more positive news, I'll start writing some more Heat stuff for Miami Sports Wave. So if you want to check out some of my articles, make sure you stay tuned of Miami Sports Wave. Well, we cover pretty much anything that's Miami sports re related. And yeah, I'll be having some of my articles up there, so make sure that you check out. Anything else we're missing, Rich?
I think that pretty much covers everything. Just
All right.
take the time to thank everybody for listening. We appreciate you. Again, use the Heaters Heating on Twitter if you have any ideas, suggestions about the show, questions, or anything. We're very happy to interact.
We'd love to hear your voice. And well, if without anything else left, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.